on Weekend Monitor. Kirby, your host for Monitor 69. This weekend, we're looking into the subject of how to make money, a matter of interest to just about everyone. Just ahead, some advice on how to make profitable investments in the stock market. First, however, Monitor music by Glenn Campbell. Try a little kindness. Monitor is exploring the matter of how to make money. One way is to invest in the stock market, which is pretty safe as long as the market keeps rising. But this has been a year of wild fluctuations, downward and upward of the market. So Monitor's Dean Mell talked with an expert, Mr. Frank Diamond, a broker who has written a book entitled Invest, Speculate Profitably in the Market, and asked him about the pitfalls of a falling market for the small investor.
Mr. Diamond, how would one go about making money in a falling market?
The first thing that you have to do to make money in a falling market is to get out of the way of the crowd, such as everybody decides they want to sell airline stocks, that the future of the airline industry has suddenly turned grim and bad. So everybody begins selling airline stocks. Now, in that type of environment, you have to duck. You have to be out of the way. You can't invest in airline stocks when there's strong selling pressure in the airlines, even though they may be great bargains. You have to find some other area that the market will suddenly become interested in, even if momentarily, and rush to buy.
Is there one trait that flows through all successful investors, whether he be educated, uneducated, rich, poor?
Yes, there is one so-called magic trait, and it's the trait of independence of decision, independence of mind. Someone who can identify a situation himself, and regardless of what everybody else thinks about it, make up his own mind and follow his own instincts.
Can an individual make money in the market without the help of a broker?
Yes, he can make money without, although I'm a broker, I mean, he can make money without a broker, and sometimes it may appear that he makes money in spite of a broker. But a good broker is very helpful.
How much money does it take to get started in the market?
For practical purposes, I would say $1,000 can launch you in the market.
Now, that's $1,000 of uncommitted money.
Right.
In other words, just because you have $1,000 in your pocket with $800 worth of obligations doesn't mean you should get into the market.
No, exactly right. I mean, that's assuming that this $1,000 is free and clear. You have no immediate use for it.
Mr. Diamond, what are the pitfalls to avoid in investing or speculating?
Well, most of the greatest losses that investors suffer are when they sell in a panic fashion. When, for example, the celebrated instance when President Eisenhower got his first heart attack, so many investors were so shocked by the news that on the Monday morning, they just rushed in and sold. And they sold all of their good stocks, their finest stocks, as if it were the end of the country, you might say. It cost them a lot of money. They had to buy their stocks back a few days later at much higher prices. Panic selling is one thing that an investor has to avoid.
Thank you very much, Frank Diamond, author of the new book, Invest, Speculate Profitably in the Market. This is Dean Mell, NBC News for Monitor.
Comes, the latest by the Common Ground. And the time is 16 and a half minutes after the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon. For Monitor 69, Durward Kirby, here's Steve Lawrence with his song about the Drifter.
Once again, there's a feeling inside of me, nothing new. I felt it before. Like the voice of a hunger inside of me crying out, there's got to be more. I'll put my faith in the arms of an open road. And you can come the night. It makes me feel better to come alive and prove that I'm free. I wear no chains and I carry no heavy load. So much to gain and there's nothing to lose.
Seeing humor in politics since the game was invented. Will Rogers once said, you know, politics is applesauce. Well, for a couple of samples of the current standard of humor on the Washington political scene, suppose we check in now with Monitor's Ray Farkas.
You wouldn't ordinarily think of an economist as the funniest guy in the world. I mean, if you were throwing a party and you invited one, you wouldn't be counting on him as the entertainment highlight of the evening. At least I wouldn't. But maybe if you asked Walter Heller, who was President Kennedy's economic advisor, just maybe if you asked Heller, like the Women's National Democratic Club did last Tuesday, and if he accepted, like he did last Tuesday, you might be in good shape.
I'm reminded that my favorite state legislator, surprisingly a Republican, Blaine Harker of Pennsylvania, who several years ago ended a looming speech on juvenile delinquency in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives with the emotional declaration, "I'm not speaking as a Republican, I'm speaking as a human being."
But if you really wanted to be a hit, you certainly wouldn't be picking on something like the Wall Street Journal.
They came forward last spring with a new definition of an economist as a man who would marry Elizabeth Taylor for her money. And the older I get, the more I resent that. Well,
now, how many economists do you know who could deliver that line? Now, on the other hand, if you invited Barry Goldwater to dinner, like an organization of electronic warfare experts who deceptively call themselves the Old Crows did, and he came, like he did, then here's what would happen.
And I asked the Royal Pro meeting, and they sent me at the bar. And strange things happen in that place. I was seated there waiting to find out where the meeting was being held, and a monkey walked in, sat down a few bar stools from me at the bar, ordered a scotch and soda. And the bartender did nearly flip. He said, "What'd you say?" He said, "I want a scotch and soda." So the bartender gave him the drink, and the monkey gave him $10. And the bartender still couldn't believe it. He took the $10 down to cash in. He said, "Charlie, look up at the end. We've got a monkey. He speaks English." He ordered a drink, and he paid me with a $10 bill. And the cashier said, "Look, monkeys don't know anything about money. Now here's a dime. Give him that for change." So the bartender went back and saluted across the bar to the monkey and said, "Thank you, here's your change." He said, "You know, it's rather unusual. We don't see many monkeys in here." And the monkey said, "No, and at $9.90 a drink, you're not going to see many more."
Who Ray Farkas in Washington, The Monitor. Now here's Jackie DeShannon with an optimistic thought. Love will find a way. One good way to make money is to play baseball. Then you get yourself hired by, say, the New York Mets, and you get into the World Series, and for 5 days work, you add $15,000 to your annual income. Thank you.
On Monitor 69, heard all around the USA. In eastern Pennsylvania, we're heard on station WEST, the Lehigh Valley's number one station. Incidentally, the call letters, dial frequencies, and locations of all of our NBC stations can be yours in handy reference form. It's just the right size to fit into your car's glove compartment or to attach to the sunshield. Why don't you write for a copy of our listening guide? NBC Monitor, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, 10020. And don't write me your usual long loving letter, huh? A postcard will do. I'm Derwood Kirby here. I'll be back in a few moments.
This is Graham Kerr, better known as the Galloping Gourmet, except to my wife. And I'm coming soon. Yes, I am. On your favorite radio network, NBC.
This weekend, Monitor is making a study of a subject that interests almost everyone: how to make money. As with anything else you want to learn, the art of accumulating money must be studied. And a good starting point is to examine the lives and careers of self-made men who have become wealthy through their own efforts. Therefore, today we welcome a guest who has written a book about such men. His name is Mr. Isidore Barmash. He is author of a new volume titled The Self-Made Man. Mr. Barmash, first of all, what's the basic ingredient the self-made millionaire has that most of us don't have?
I think that fellow generally has a grand dream, and the drive and the cold analytical judgment to push it ahead and carry it out at all costs.
Now, most of the great American fortunes, I believe, were built up around the turn of the century by men like Rockefeller, Astor, J.P. Morgan, Vanderbilt, and a lot of other giants. Do you think it was easier to get rich 60 to 80 years ago than it is today?
The opportunities are still as great as ever.
You really believe they are?
I honestly do. We have so much going today that offers new opportunities for businessmen. You have a tremendously growing population. You have rising tastes. You have new markets built, a rapid change in technology. I would say without any hesitation that the opportunities of the future are even greater than the opportunities of the present and the past.
Well, now, from your study of self-made men, Mr. Barmash, do you conclude that a young man just out of college should, we'll say, exert his efforts to join a big company, a small company, or to try to make it on his own, in his own business?
I don't think there's any pat answer to that one. I think that either way, the drives and the skills that you need will come to the fore if you have them to begin with. There are people who believe, like General Sarnoff told me in my researching this book, that if he were a young man, he would join a big company, work there several years, and then get out on his own. Other young men have demonstrated in recent years that they can do it by starting a little business from the ground up and making it big in a relatively short time.
Well, now, when you spoke to Mr. Sarnoff about this, was he suggesting then that you join this big company to learn their know-how and
exactly,
how to go about things?
Exactly.
Then transfer it into your own image and your own likeness.
Yes, I'm sure that's what he had in mind. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, Mr. Barmash, that a rich man is any happier just because he happens to be rich?
Perhaps it's one of the burdens of success, that in order to really make it big, you've got to sacrifice something else. The question in my mind, which I really have not been able to answer, is it really worth it? And I think only each person himself must answer that question.
We've been talking with Mr. Isidore Barmash, author of the new book, The Self-Made Man.
Raindrops are falling on the hill, and just like the guy's feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. See, I just did need some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head.
raindrops keep falling on my head. But that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining.
Thomas, raindrops keep falling on my head. At least he's a pretty honest guy, though, and he admits he doesn't know enough to come in out of the rain. Anywho, ahead, more music and some more money-making ideas for housewives. So stay right there. You're on the Moniker Beacon.